clear, akuti mumar, mumar l'teavon, mumar l'hachis, mumar l'abaruzara, mumar l'chalos haShabbos, maybe a touch of, mumar l'yom haKippurim. We're going to discuss all those topics when we come back. We'll try not to get too bogged down, but they're really fascinating topics about, again, a different aspect of Kedushas Yisrael on the Gabra level. That's what do you, what takes you out of Cheskas Kashrus? What takes you out of Cheskas Kedushas Yisrael? Is there more than one type of Kedushas Yisrael? This is the status of Kedushas Yisrael or Choshud or Kosher different? To use Rambam terminology, just things to start thinking about as we go through these sugyas, mainly from Dav Dalid through, through Vav. Is there a difference, from the perspective of Hilchos Tshuva and Hilchos Avodah Zara, Hilchos Shechita? What constitutes Kedushas Yisrael and different, especially in Ishus? We'll talk very briefly about that today. These are really very important topics. Some of the sugyas are in Horios and Avodah Zarah, but this section here, this two dapim or two and a half dapim in the Chulin is very important for that. And again, we're talking the other day about a philosophy of halacha, and that again, my point was that that's another way of saying leave it at Torah. So when you learn these sugyas and you learn them well and you don't skip steps, you're really touching on fundamental and core questions. Who is, what do you have to believe? What do you have to minimally, observe, or at least not rebel against, to retain your Kedushas Yisrael, your Cheskas Kashrus? These are fundamental questions about what it means to be a Jew and what it means, to be part of the destiny of Klal Yisrael. So that's what we're going to pick up with. But for today, let us at least begin the topic of Kuti. We started. Tzvi, you want to just get us up to what we've seen so far is the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and then again Gimel Amud Beis. What do we have with regard to that, with regard to Kuti? What exactly we need by? What exactly do you need? Okay, excellent. So that comes up again. We don't need to read that Gemara over because we know that Gemara. So there's a debate between Abai and Rava whether anything less, let's say, than Omed al Gabov, right? Omed al Gabov certainly works, correct? Yeah. The question is whether or not something less than Omed al Gabov also works or not. So that's the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, right? And then what else do you have there? And you have a little bit of a Shaka V'Tarya, right, about bringing a Raya in general, whether or not anything less than Omer Gabov meaning specifically? Yotzev V'Nichnas. So that's what seems to be a debate between Abai and Rava. And then you have this interesting discussion, right, whether or not you can bring a raya from, some of the cases in Avodah Zarah, right, and the question of, lechatchila and b'diavad, etc. Correct? So that's the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph. Also from the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, we have another factor. What's that? But it sounds like Kuti is inherently Kashud, right, or at least doesn't have Cheskas Kashrus, and therefore you need some sort of supervision, and the question is what level of supervision? That's question number one. That's just something that we're going to be discussing more fully. Okay, and what else? Another factor that the Gemara brings in, just quickly, Chotech Kzayis Basar V'Nosein Bo, correct? And what's that all about?
If
Correct. Meaning, so that, and that is something that highlights that one of the things that we are, or our perspective on Kuti, right, a Kuti, we're assuming for the moment, has Kedushas Yisrael, right, we'll get back to that, that's part of the debate, we're not going to discuss that so much today, although we're, we'll at least frame the question, whether Kuti is Geir Arayas or Geir Emes, right? Tosis already touches on it on Gimel days. We'll talk about it a little bit, right? But if Kuti really does have Kedushas Yisrael, so why does he need this level of Hashgacha? Right? Typically, a regular Gadol who has Kedushas Yisrael, you know, he can be Shokei Beino Levein Atzmo, and we believe him. Right? We believe him because Rov Betzvin Eitz Shkita Mumkanein, or we believe him because he has Nemanu Seid Echanem Bisurim, or maybe those two are the same thing, right? That's our discussion. We'll get back to it again with the Beis Halevi, and how the Beis Halevi understood the Ra'an and the Rambam, right? So what's wrong with Kuti? So part of figuring out this sugya is trying to understand, like, you know, what is the profile, what's the spiritual profile of a Kuti? So the sugya of Chotech Kazayis Basar Venosnalo, which helps, apparently even when there's no Hashkaka, right, highlights that what? Yeah, which is another way of saying in terms of his spiritual profile, that we are not confident in his fidelity to what? Yeah, what do we call it in the halacha? What would we call that? If you had to pick out a lav? Yeah, exactly. So we don't trust his, he doesn't believe in lifnei iver l'zitein mikshol, apparently. Or maybe call Yisrael Raven Zelazeb. Let's work with Rashi for the moment. He doesn't believe in the Fnei Velisite Mechshal, but that doesn't mean he doesn't look himself in the mirror and think that he's a good Jew. Right. The way that Rashi puts it in some cases is, this is highlights a different aspect of his spiritual profile. And there's like, why Dafka Lefnei Velisite Mechshal? Right. And again, it could have been that it was a din, like, you know, call Yisrael Raven Zelazeb. That you could have said, that the thing with the Kuti is that he sees himself as a, you know, as an individual, as a Jew, as a person who's mekabel ol mitzvos, etc. But he doesn't nationally identify with the Jewish people. Or, that's one way to look at it. He could have said that. We'll see, not today, but when we go back to Kuti, we'll get back to this. But that's, you know, kind of a, somebody who doesn't care about what his fellow Jews, you know, standards of, you know, behavior are, or is even willing to be machshel, and you could say it's a bigger question. He just doesn't identify with the nation Israel. But they just passed a law in the Congress or something, or they just made a new rule that Judaism is a nationality. So, like, this is an interesting, you know, question. Do the Kutim think that Judaism is a nationality? Do they agree with this new congressional edict? We're so current, you know, we're so cutting edge, so relevant. You know, it's scary. This is the halacha l'maisa here. So the Kutim, you know, take issue with, you know, with the new edict, but they say, no, it's a religion. But, you know, it's, you know, what does that have to do with my neighbor? Right? It's they don't believe in nation Israel, they just believe in, you know, individual. That's the point? Or is it more, you know, it's a thin and call Yisrael Arayim Zelazeb. They say, you know, we're all part of the same nation. Just that we don't think that we're responsible for our fellow Jews' standards. Let him, you know, fend for himself. That's another perspective, right? You know, they're, you know, Amecha mi elokai echa elokai. You know, I'm not sure why the Congress people aren't debating what that means, but, you know, how much role does the Amecha mi, you know, part play in what are its implications? But Rashi sees it more specifically in terms of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. But it's just a curious, interesting thing, right? And Rashi, you know, adds, and, you know, maybe other Makoros for this, that it has to do with not so much how they look at, you know, their national identity or, and, you know, their national or their neighborly even responsibility, but that it has to do, see, with how they understand the Pasuk. You know, and that too, you could have said, okay, so they're, you know, they have a different view of what this pasuk means. But Rashi understands that it's a bigger question, right? what do they think about the relationship between Torah Shabbat Tzav, partly in Torah Shabbat, that they think is literal, right? It means don't put a stumbling block, or, you know, probably not just a stumbling block in terms of an Iver, maybe it also means, you know, some other sort of physical, don't go out of your way. Again, you could draw the line in different places. You could say it means it literally, don't take advantage of somebody who has disabilities and isn't able to defend, you know, or forfend, you know, the obstacles that you will put in front of his way. Is somebody who's helpless, is that the idea? Or is it doing something physical that, you know, trips him up? Or, you know, is it, you know, that they disagree with, you know, being responsible to take measures to prevent him from making mistakes as opposed to being the source of Micholin. There's a difference between the pshat of Lifnei Velosite Michal and the scope of what we include under that rubric is quite large. So at which point, how do the Kutim understand it? You know, the Kutim Parshanut of Lifnei Velosite Michal, that's an interesting question, because are all these components in Lifneva? We're not studying Lifneva right now, but that's an interesting question. Or is it the bigger idea, which is implied by, you know, some of the other sugyas, and that is that they just, you know, they don't accept Torah Shebaal Peh, or at least they don't automatically accept Torah Shebaal Peh. Correct? So that's part of the profile. We'll see in a minute, we'll have you read in a second, the Gemara in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. You know, what about other things that are part of the Masorah or part of the interpretation of Torah Shebaal Peh? What does it mean for a Kuti also to be rejecting, you know, again, if a Kuti rejects a particular interpretation, you know, that's one thing. If he rejects, you know, the Amechami part, you know, of Yahadus, obviously that's a much bigger issue, even in terms of his Kedushas Yisrael. If he rejects, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh, per se, you know, that's also an interesting and important question. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, that somebody who denies Torah Shebaal Peh is a min, right? He's a kofer. I believe we made mention of this already on Tuesday, where I point out that the Lecha Mishnah, you know, was troubled why we're not consistent with that in Hilchos Shechita, not with regard to a kuti, but with regard to a tzeduki, who the Rambam thinks are the natural heirs of the kuti, right? Because he too thinks that it's an issue of Torah. The big issue is an issue of Torah Shebaal Peh. So why is it that the Rambam, when he talks about tzeduki, seems to, you know, portray the problem in terms of hashgacha? Why not just say, according to the Rambam, we'll get back to this, that based on Hilchos Tshuva, Misha Kofer B'Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, Dino Ka'akum, and then put him in the category of Akum, and then, you know, God Lomed El Gabov, never mind, Dachayrim Rowin also, never mind, Yosef Nichnas, none of that's going to help you. That's Lecha Misha's question. Okay. The bigger point I'm trying to make is that, number one, there's a debate between, the first point you made correctly in terms of the facts, is a debate between Abai and Rava, what level of Ashgacha works. The implication of that, or the, I should say, it's explicit in the Gemara, that Acherim Rowan Oso is going to work here, so he's not treated as a guy. The question is, what about Yotze V'Nichnas? That's an important debate. We're going to get back to the Pratim of that in just a minute. And then the second point is that part of the reason for his being problematic doesn't seem to be his bigger spiritual profile, whatever that is. It seems to be because, more specifically, his disregard for the implications of the Fneiva L'Sitei Michal make him a choshud on this particular matter. Now, what that, you know, disregard for Lifneiva is about, that's what I was just talking about just a second ago, is that a bigger, you know, a mechami thing? Is it a, you know, Torah Shebaal Peh thing? You know, or is it just, you know, something narrower in terms of this particular parshanut, you know, that is open for grabs? But it just makes you wonder, if you take the bigger views and not the narrower views, you know, why Omid al-Gabov and why, according to Rava, Yotzei b'Nichnas is going to help you here. Right. So that remains a bigger question. If indeed, you know, you can be choteich, you know, basar v'notlo, v'nosenlo, so why isn't that even true l'chatchila? Right? Why is that just, you know, b'diavet? That's something else we have to think about. So we'll get back to all these questions in just a second, sum up what some of the Rishonim say about them. But those are the two salient points on Gimel Amud Aleph, right? Just to get through the Gemaras. Then on Gimel Amud Beis, which we also read a few times, so we don't need to read it again. See, what's the additional information on Gimel Amud Beis about Kutim? Just on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, we have a short revisiting, again, of the debate between Abai and Rava, right? And the possibility that what? The Gemara says, well, what indeed? You know, why would we reject Abaya, right? Why does he have that line?
Yeah.
Rava lo amar ka Abaya, ki kushye. What's the kasha? Which kasha? From the Meniach HaMeniach, the whole, because he tries to prove from other sources that Yotzei v'Nichnas is effective, right? Go ahead. Abaye le'alma k'rava. Right, that's absent from the previous Gemara. Like, what is Abaye going to say for this? So we need to still understand what that is. You know, what hasam lo naga. What's the hasam? What's the case? Exactly, by the guy in the store with the yayin, that's hasam lo naga, and hacha naga. Okay, so again, it's not really naga here, right? Although it's definitely hasam lo naga there. So what do we mean by that, and how important is that? That's probably not a din in kuti. I mean, that clearly isn't a din in kuti, right? But that is a din in what? In hashkacha, right? What level of proof you need, right, in order to trust, you know, somebody or some situation, you know, where you need some sort of evidence, right? So the chiluk of maga, naga velo naga needs to be explained a little better. Okay, so that's on our list. Then the Gemara has one other critical line, Ravashi Amar, rather lo amar ketravayu. Yeah. And what's the story with Kutim Geri Arayos? That's a debate, right? Whether Gary M is Gary Rice. You have the Tosis there just very quickly. Go ahead. Tosis already points out that the whole issue of Kutim Gary Arias, this is of course in the origin story of Kutim. There are really three stages of Kutim, right? There's the origin story, but how do we look at the original entry of Kutim into Klal Yisrael? Obviously that's going to be really important for understanding who the Kutim are and what their status is, but even more so for what? No. I mean, this is going to be an application. I'm saying the bigger, if I said to you, like, what is that, you know, what is the significance of the you know, the early, the, you know, the origin story of the Kutim? Well, so I'm saying there are three. Of course, any applications that flow therefrom, like Shkita, are going to be affected by this. But that's a tertiary, you know, that's a secondary, you know, kind of a question. It doesn't make it, you know, for learning Shkita, it's very important. Right. But I'm saying just placing this conceptually where it belongs, you know, there are two, there's the big, before you get to that question, there's the bigger question, how do you look at the Kutim? You know, and part of that is, you know, that's a primary question, and the other primary question connected to it is 100%, exactly. What are the standards that are required for geirus? If you have these gray area, you know, geirios, if we can say that, you know, so what is that? So we need to know the facts, like what was it about these geirios? Geiruses? Geirios. that that make them gray area, right? And how do we resolve that? Right. So part of it is a question, clearly, of, won't say Eitan. What is the question? There are two elements, probably, to think about. Again, this we'll get back to more, but I just want to at least throw out and highlight why this is an important question. Yeah, I'm saying, what's the problem of, I'm saying there are three types of questions here. Yeah, the first question is the standard of Gerus. Second question, as a result of that, is the status of Kutim as Gerim. And then the third question is all the Nafkaminas, you know, that that flow therefrom, right? So the bigger question here, you know, is something that belongs in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, because that happens to be where the Rambam speaks about this fascinating in its own right, you know, Hilchos Gerus, right? So what's the issue with the Kutim? Well, we know Geriemus Geri Arayos, right, with an Aleph, by the way, right? Meaning, you know, like the tigers and the bears. You know, lions and tigers and bears? Yeah. So, what's the issue? Yeah, exactly. So, that in itself touches on two things, and the relationship of which is very complex. And it's a story, that always will continue, you know, throughout the history of mankind and the Jewish people. Namely, what is the relationship, how much Kabbalas, how much do you need to be accepting to be a ger? What level of Kabbalas omitzos and Kabbalas omach ha-shamayim? Right? That's one part of the question, which is very difficult to gauge. Another part of that question, are we talking about what you are sincerely makabel, or are we talking about your motivation in that Kabbalah? Like, let's say you sincerely accept, you know, what that standard is, whether it's high or low, or higher or lower, right? But you do so for ulterior motives, right? L'shem ishus. You want to get married to someone, right? Which is, you know, always was and continues to be, you know, a factor in Gerus, right? Or because of political expediency, otherwise known as Gerei Arayos, where you want to be on the winning side. You're worried, you know, what role does, now again, to the extent that that already compromises, you know, the sincerity, the content sincerity of what you're makabel, does what you say is one thing and what you intend to do at the moment is something else, and that's a substantive question, correct? But there's another question, and that is, let's say you are absolutely committed, you know, sincerely to doing this, you know, but again, your motivation, it's not like, oh, you experienced, this romance, and it highlighted for you, the compelling nature of the Kedushas Yisrael, right? And so therefore, of course, this was a factor, but you can kind of filter that out, so it's not really l'shem ishus, although the ishus brought you to this. Or, you're on the battlefield and you're so impressed, with the nisim v'niflos, it's like a Hanukkah story. So it's not just that you want to be on the right side, but you aren't really sincerely, committed to it. It's that, this is what, illuminated, Metzius Hashem, Mashkochas Hashem, Amechami, the special status of Klal Yisrael, there can be all sorts of, mixed motivations for people. But the bigger question is, when the commitment in action is there, that's sincere, but again, the motivation, remains clearly ulterior. That's a question. Right. There are actually three issues. One is motivation. The other is the sincere intention to commit to a certain standard, and that can be complex, meaning it's clear in the Gemara in Yevamos that you're not allowed to reject anything in the context of Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos and Geiros. What's not clear is what we mean when we, by rejecting, meaning rejecting means that you have to sincerely embrace the commitment to do and think that you're going to do, or at least not know that you're not going to do, or not know that you're going to come fall short. Or what it means is that you accept the totality of the system. You may know your nature and know that it's not likely, or maybe even know the vadai, you know, that you're not going to, you know, end up, or maybe even meirosh, you know, you're not there yet, or you're not going to ever be there, but you do accept the system. You just know that you're going to be flawed, you know, like many born native Jews are flawed, you know, in implementing it. What do we mean when we talk about, you know, Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos? And is there some kind of interesting mix of those two things that you know, if you don't intend to do them, then it's as if you're rejecting them, and other things where, a little bit connected, by the way, to the Gemaras that we're going to see here in Chulin, you know, if a person is, you know, Shomer Taryav Mitzvos, you know, with every Chumrah, you know, attached to it, you know, but it just so happens that, you know, he's, you know, a Mumar when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so obviously that linchpin, we'll talk about this a lot when we get there, that linchpin, you know, merit, you know, makes everything else insignificant. That's what the Gemara means when it says, you know, that anybody who is over the Avodah Zarah, it's ki'ilu, he's mechalel, you know, or a mumar, b'chol haTorah kula. And the opposite is true in some respects as well. That is that somebody who's a kofer of Avodah Zarah, you know, is ki'ilu kiyem, or ki'ilu, it doesn't mean that all you have to do is avoid Avodah Zarah, but what it does mean is that, you know, if you have Kedushas Yisrael, and, you know, you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, but, you know, that then constitutes, well, you know, you're a big Avarian, you're a massive Avarian, you know, but you're a Yisrael Avarian, you're Poshe Yisrael, you know. So this is a big question in terms of Kabbalah's Geirutz. What do you need? They're really going to say, there's the sincerity question, how much ulterior motive, and, you know, what about mixed motives, what about, it's perfectly clear that, you know, if you come to something, as I say, you know, based on certain, you know, considerations or, you know, experiences, you know, but that brings you, you know, to a sincere motivation as well, you know, that's not going to be a problem. But where it remains mixed or remains insincere or dominated by ulterior motives, A, is that a problem? B, what level of Kabbalah mitzvahs do we meet? Can't reject explicitly. Certainly can't reject in principle, like I makabel tar, you know, yav mitzvahs, but not tar yav. Bishita, b'ikaro. You can't do that. Even drabanans, even the koach hakamim of drabanans, you can't do. Right? That's an interesting question about the Kutim and Lifneiver, right? And then the question is, what do you need except? And then there's a third question, and that is, in the process of Geirus, assuming that there's also a factor in addition, let's say, to a male, Mila and Tvila, if there's something additional called Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, which there seems to be, is that something, you know, as a part of the process, you know, as a component in the Maisa Geirus, you know, which is Ma'akra. Okay, so these are important issues and questions. The question is there also some sort of in-between status? Does is everything, you know, full Kedushas Yisrael or zero Kedushas Yisrael? You know, there's full Kedushas Yisrael, but you might end up being an Avarian. Certainly after the Geirus, you know, you want to be Chozer L'Suro, you know, you can't do that, right? I'm not talking about Ger Katan, you know, Shema Pilon Osel Das Bezdin, who has a window from Macha, and even then, that needs to be understood. But typically, you know, a ger who then, let's say a sincere ger who is, you know, attains full Kedushas Yisrael, and then, you know, the next morning he wakes up, or 10 years later he wakes up, and he's completely chozer l'suro, so he's a Yisrael mumar. Those are the components, but the question is it all or nothing? In other words, is there some in-between status of Kedushas Yisrael? There's a lot of evidence in different contexts, and again, I'll elaborate this probably after we come back more fully, but it's important just to know going in that there may be a status of Miktsas Kedushas Yisrael, or Kedushas Yisrael with respect to, you know, certain tchumim in halakha and not others. Moshe Lamad Avredome, what we may have, we'll talk about this in more specifically, you know, anyway, in a minute or two. Let's say an Eved, right? Avadim, who have the Milo Tvila, but remain Avadim, Kodim Shechror, right? What is their status? Right? I think we discussed this a couple of years ago. We learned Shavuos, right? The din of Eved is he has full Kedushas Yisrael, but, you know, his limitations, which is a mitzvah, say, Shazman Brahma, and certain other dinim, have to do with his shame Eved, right? And maybe even his shame Eved has something to do with Kedushas Yisrael. That's what I was trying to suggest a couple of years ago. Although not, you know, by virtue of his shame Eved, not by virtue of his lack of, or the absence of full Kedushas Yisrael per se. Or, you know, maybe an Eved ad shalo shalo shochrar is simply lacking in Kedushas Yisrael. Right, that's kind of an in-between. You know, he has the chiyuv mitzvos kenashim, but as I've said many times, although Tosfos in Gittin, daf mem, equates nashim and avadim, even in terms of the question of bracha, this is Sheshes Man Graba, the Rav, I just saw recently, actually, I picked up Aga, that, you know, they keep putting out, they put out some extra volumes of the Igros Moshe, you know, posthumously, you know, some extra tshuvas, which are a little bit controversial, but also some just ksavim. So I actually picked up on this, where the Ramosh Feinstein has the same perspective that the Rav had on this issue, namely that even though Nashim and Avadim both have a p'tur from the association's Magroma, but that they're fundamentally different. But in the case of Nashim, again, it has to do with, nothing to do with Kedushas Yisrael, has to do with other obligations and so on, what I call spiritual specialization. In the case of Eved Kenani, it has to do with an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael, and that the Nafka Mina may be, in terms of even if Ritchach made Tzarfat, whether you make a bracha and so on. So that's a model, just trying to show models. Another model is to be found in the view of some, even the halacha, the view of some. What happens when you have Eved Ba'akum Habal Bas Yisrael? You know, the child, as we know, has Kedushas Yisrael. But Rashi and Kedushin and Balitosis, these two places, seem to say that there's some requirement, additional requirement of Geirus. And that's, you know, something which triggered, you know, a lot of discussion. Like, how could that be? You know, if somebody's in Yisrael, why do you need Geirus? And the suggestion by some of the Achronim is that because there's some sort of an in-between status, you know, here. And you need Geirus to complete the Kedushas Yisrael. So one of the, what happens to somebody who, like, is in the process of Geirus, and he was, he did, you know, let's say Geir, he did the Mila and not the Tvila. Right, that's a big question that arose, that was discussed intensively much later in the period of the Achronim. But that's an interesting question. Is there any kind of Miktsas Kedushas Yisrael in that case? But in addition to those cases, or what's, let's say somebody was Mizgayer, I'll give all the cases, and you, but, you know, with some lack of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos, it's part of the process. Not necessarily that he rejected Ol Mitzvos, so that he's not interested in keeping them, you know, but there was a Mila and a Tefila, but there wasn't Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. Does that have any impact on you know, some sort of in-between status. Or let's say there was a tevila as part of the process, but it was done, you know, shalom b'fnei bezdin, or shalom b'fnei, you know, the right amount of people. That's a discussion of the Ritz, Balamor, and Yavamos. Anyway, so in addition to those cases, that's a fascinating question. The question, the status of the Givonim and the status of the Kutim, right, are directly connected to this problem as well. Because they are, you know, whole groups that underwent, you know, Gerus, that entered into Klal Yisrael, and again, did so under suspicious circumstances, controversial circumstances, complex circumstances, both in terms of their motivation, as well as in terms of the substance of their commitment, the sincerity of their commitment, the substance of their commitment, right? If we're talking about people who never really embraced Torah Shebal Peh, or you know, Lifnei Iver, or some of the Achronim here say, well, there's evidence from other sugyas, and it seems to be that Kutim, you know, never embraced the notion, you know, of Sveika Doraisa Lachomra, assuming that that's Doraisa. Like, you know, again, it's interesting just to figure out also what goes together in the spiritual profile, you know, of different groups, and whether that is just coincidental or it's something more intrinsically, you know, significant. You know, the Kutim, you know, their motivation, Lifnei Iver, Amechami, or maybe just Arvus, or maybe just Lifnei Iver, but, or maybe Torah Shevatzav and Torah Shevapeh. And what about Suffolk? Because these aren't just details. Some of them have to do, are symbolically significant, as we are trying to briefly portray, to like bigger ideas. Not to, oh, you're not compliant, you know, with number 406 of the 613 commandments, right? Some of them are very, very, you know, reflective of like rejecting, or at least not, you know, accepting fully, like cardinal principles. You always have to distinguish between the principles, you know, and the details. It's true, a lot of principles are reflected by details, but we certainly understand that some of the details, you know, more than others, highlight, you know, big chunks of Kedushas Yisrael. So this question of the Kutim and the question of the Givonim, you know, questions of groups like that, does it matter whether it's a group, like say, that entered, you know, or is it different for individuals, Lakula or Lakobra, right? Especially, let's say there's a, you know, that's itself a fascinating question. Just like, by the way, when Klal Yisrael itself, right, at Har Sinai, you know, which the Gemara in a bunch of places compares to a Geirus, right, so all the, not all, many Mepharshim are troubled, you know, what happened if Gershon Iskayer is Kekotan, you know, Shinola Dami, like in all Dine Kurva start all over again, so, you know, what affected pre, you know, they were Bochel Mishpachoseim, you know, because, you know, Chazal say because they found out all these, you know, Isurim now, all these restrictions are going to be imposed upon. So a lot of the Achronim have, but Bochel Mishpachoseim was like the greatest, clean slate, you know, and the only one, you know, in all of Jewish history. Like, you can marry your, I don't know who you want to marry, so I don't want to even get into it, but, you know, all your relatives, basically. No? So it seems like no. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been crying. And it just instinctively seems like no. So, but why not? You know, so again, it's one of those questions, a Minchas Chinuch Mishul Melech question, like, why not? We know it's not, but why not? So different answers are given to that question. I personally think, and I think some people say it, although I don't say it exactly the way I want to say it, and that is that the fact that Klal Yisrael, you know, stepped over the Rubicon, you know, into, you know, Kabbalah's Taryag Mitzvos and full Kedushas Yisrael, Yom HaZeh Ni'eseh La'am, you know, in one, they were all holding hands together, you know, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, I'm not going to break out of the song because we already sang for Natanael earlier. But I always have to restrain myself. But right, especially since my consciousness has been raised by the playlist. So the fact that everybody walked over that Rubicon, together, maybe the solution to that particular, answer. In other words, part of what makes Gershon Hizkayar Kekatan Shenola Dami is the fact that you're coming, relative to, and even if you do many individual Gerim together or even a group, but there is a Klal Yisrael, and it's the question of the gap. There's no relationship between, who you were. That's the whole point, except on the universal ideas, of your humanity, maybe. But, who you were, and what you become. It's a Shinui Shimo, which is a Shinui Zehut in this particular case. But when everybody does that, that's true when you have an established Klal Yisrael and you come from a different culture. So you used to be, Bartholomew, now you're becoming Baruchel, and, never the twain shall meet. When everybody was Bartholomew and translating now into, Baruchel, so just saying, that's the translated Kedushas Yisrael name, of that, transformation. It's more like an evolution, aside from which Klal Yisrael were always targeted and, anticipated and omade, for that. So I don't know if those are two separate points. I think they're likely overlapping points. But so that's why, the tziruv, what I call the tziruv problem, thus doesn't exist at that point. Moreover, it's a Tzibur's Geirus rather than a Yachid's Geirus. Again, these are three overlapping points, I guess. But what happens when you have a big group, en masse, and as a group, as an identifiable group, enter into Kedushas Yisrael? That's a little bit different than, Klal Yisrael, where the Kedushas Yisrael is defined by and was anticipated by, and there is no other. I'm not comparing them, but there are still some, again, common elements, and certainly the idea of a mass gerus, which is not the same as how many gerim you get at the same time. Right? If it's not, betoras a nation or whatever, it could be more people than the nation, and it's still every individual. It's not like, you do it in Madison Square Gardens or what is it, MetLife Stadium now. So, so that makes it, an en masse. They used to have these weddings so people could stay in the country, so they go to Madison Square Gardens, and there's still individual marriages. Right. So this is an important issue. So when it comes to Givonim, when it comes to Kutim, it's not surprising that the question of Gerei Rayas, Gerei Emes, and the question of the sincerity of the Givonim is something that kind of tested everything that I'm talking about. Right, the question of motivation on its very levels, the substance of commitment, the question of possibly mitzvah status. So with regard to that, just to give you an example, the Meiri, for example, says very famously in the beginning of the third parak of Ksubis, and a few other places as well, that the Givonim, right from the time of Yehoshua, that their gerus was Doraisa, and that they have status of Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore they're subject to Malkus, when they violate, certain Isurim Minat Torah. And yet, when it comes to matters of Ishus, when it comes to marrying, a member of a Bas Yisrael, a regular Bas Yisrael, that they needed a separate gerus, and that they weren't allowed to do that. So there are parallel ideas. If you look at the Ravid and the Ramban, we'll look at them and sum this up in the end, possibly about Kutim as well and their status. Especially if you say, Geirei Arayos, does that mean they had zero Kedushas Yisrael? Indeed, many of the in-between status that I was talking about, I mentioned this with the condition a couple of years ago too, because that's what it's relevant for, but you know, whether it's, you know, compromised tefillahs because the bezin wasn't there, you know, omitting the step of, you know, Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, some question about the purity of motive or absolute sincerity, you know, of the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, some of the Rambam and the Rif and that Rashi that I mentioned and others, you know, that Akum ve'eved shebal bas Yisrael, Havlad Yisrael, but might still require a Geirus. A lot of those are expressed specifically in Ishus, in the ability, you know, to marry bas Yisrael, which is a way of basically saying that the Amei Chami and the Elokai Chalakai, being the status of, you know, Kedushas Yisrael as an individual, I think are two ways to say it. One is that, you know, the status of Kedushas Yisrael as an individual can sometimes be separated from, but with consequences, of course, the status of being a full member of Klal Yisrael. By the way, it goes in the other direction, too. Like, you have Yisrael Mumar, we can talk about this, and there are no secrets, so we might as well just, you know, put it out there. You have Yisrael Lutei Mumar Lavarazara, or Lachalas HaShabbos, you know, who's a Mumar Lachal Torah Kula, you know, he's treated Kigoy Lachama Devarim. We also know that, you know, that Rashi established, you know, in his famous Tshuva, and mostly this was accepted, you know, the principle, the expanded idea, expanded from what it is in the Gemara, in the case of Achan, of Yisrael Afa Pishakata, Yisrael Hu. So what does it mean, Yisrael Afa Pishakata, Yisrael Hu, and still say, you know, Harei Hu Kegoi, Lekol Advarim, or Laharbe Advarim. So we'll talk about the Bala Eshkol's view of that, etc., when we get to it. But again, just to make it clear, there are some, you know, Gaonim, who required a tvila, seemingly daraisa, you know, for somebody to, you know, to return from a state of mumrus, you know, mumr l'chala tarah kula, you know, to reconnect, even though afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. And again, more usually, more specifically, with regard to Ishus. So it's not only about people entering Klal Yisrael, you know, in ways that are compromised, and the question whether there's mitzvahs kedushas Yisrael in that way, it also goes in terms of losing your kedushas Yisrael. And there are different shitas. We'll talk about the Miri, we'll talk about the Eshkol, we'll talk about the more standard views. But the fact that it expresses itself in Ishus might be an idea of maybe there's something called personal kedushas Yisrael. Yisrael af mishkat Yisrael hu. You're still obligated to put on tefillin. You know, he's still obligated, you know, to do mitzvos. But his ability, let's say, to be part of the tzibur, to motzei acher midei chavasan, let's say, to, you know, accomplish what, you know, is, you know, contingent upon kol Yisrael areivim zeh lazeh, you know, maybe he, you know, he can lose that, or there can be geira situations where he doesn't really fully have that. And, you know, maybe ein lecha, you know, consequence, you know, gadol may, you know, may ishus. Or it could be about something more very specifically connected with ishus. Again, the fact that, you know, in response to the question of the gaonim, why it is that in the Birchas Eirusin, right, we accentuate mekadesh Yisrael, or Mekadosh Yisrael de Chuppah v'Kiddushin, something which we don't typically do in other, you know, mitzvos. So again, I think there are overlapping answers to that question, one of which is that Kedushas Ishus highlights Kedushas Yisrael in a very dramatic way. That's not for now. But another answer, and again, I don't think they're mutually exclusive at all to this question, is that there is specifically an element of Kedushas Yisrael that expresses itself and is a basis for Ishus, the ability to build the building blocks of Klal Yisrael. There's a lot of evidence about that as well. So you know, if there's an aspect of geirus, you know, that relates specifically to ishus, and you can have geirus situations where, you know, it's insufficient, you know, to marry a bas Yisrael, or if you can lose your ability to marry a bas Yisrael by your behavior, even if you're a natural born member of Klal Yisrael, that highlights that this is a component. In the end of the day, therefore, why am I saying speaking about all this? So with the question, the Gemara says, well, kuti geri arayo say. So the question of supervision, you know, is not the issue. You know, it's you don't accept Kedushas Yisrael. The question is, does everybody who holds kutim geri arayo completely reject or turn their back on Kedushas Yisrael? And if the answer is completely, in other words, and if the answer is no, it sounds like at least this Gemara is saying that with respect to Shkita, you know, there is. Oh, so Shkita belongs with the other, you know, group of limitations. That would, again, highlight a certain, you know, level of Kedushas Yisrael. Okay? So without going into detail, we'll fill it in. But this is the issue. Of kute geri emes and kute, really, it's a question to ask for both. Does kute geri emes means that there are no restrictions, and does kute geri arayos mean that there's absolutely no kedushas Yisrael? If the answer to either of those questions is the more complicated one, then figuring out, you know, what a kuti has and what a kuti doesn't have, you know, becomes a very critical piece in understanding the building blocks or the components of Kedushas Yisrael, and of course the individual applications, you know, that form those building blocks. Okay, so just very quickly, see if you don't want this, the Tosas, just to highlight another point very quickly. So Tosas discusses this a little bit, but we'll discuss more this question. Go ahead. So here Tosas also takes an important stand. We're going to have to talk about this. We've alluded to it a little bit. I'll get back to it again in a few minutes, a little bit more. And that is, what is the pagam or the psul of a non-Jew or of an Ovid of Arizara? Is that the same, actually, with respect to this problem in Shechita? Tosas is saying, if you hold kuti geire arayos, then he's the equivalent of an akum. That's number one. We'll have to see if that... I mean, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying. The Gemara seems to be saying that he's mufka from Shechita anyway. Probably he's like an akum. But that, you know, again, if kuti geire arayos is understood kipshuto, that's totally understandable, meaning he looks like a Jew, he seems to act like a Jew. I don't mean physically, but... meaning it seems to others he might be, you know, a member of Klal Yisrael, but in fact the Geirus was a sham, it was a fraud, and therefore he's a Goy Gomor. That's all Tosas saying. But if you hold Kuti Geri Arayos is more complicated, then this is Gemara, and this is an important point. But secondly, Tosas here takes a stand, the Re, and the Rush amplifies this here, takes a stand on what the problem of Akum in Shechita is, right? Namely, what is it? V'zavachta, masha tazoveach ha-ta'okel, right? Kol ma'osa shehu bar zvicha la'afuke ova kochavim. That's important, meaning we had this already. We talked about the lavush, right? About katan. Namely, what is Tosas saying? What is the Re saying? It's what? It's not included in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the shiur, right, in his kashras, in his kedushas Yisrael, legabe din this din. That's not so obvious, right? That's why when the Levush applied the same idea to Katan, right, that Shach and others rebelled, because they said, what do you mean? That's not an Akum. If he was an Akum, if it was exactly that din, then God Alomid Agaba wouldn't help either. Right. Again, there are answers to these questions. But this is based on the principle also that projects very strongly since our last year before the break. It's highlighting already, hopefully, a lot of things we've been talking about. You know, again, of Shechita, you know, being connected to the mitzvah, as Shechita as possibly an expression of Kedushas Yisrael, right? What's also fascinating, connected to this, is Tosus's additional inclusion of the Ochad Avel Sahakas, which we'll see is very controversial. Right, is Ochal Avelus Lahakis really a goy legabe davarze? He's mufka from the tzibui of from the mitzvah of Shechita. Okay, something to think about. Not accepted. The Rambam actually has a bit of a different take on this mitzvah in general, on this din in general. Anybody familiar? Shai? Yeah, exactly. You have the pasuk, the Rambam in Inuchos Shechita. The Rush attacks in here, so you just, if you want to read it through through a third part, the Rush quotes Tosas, and then he quotes the Rambam. Oh, they call Yisrael a Raven Zeller. No kutim here. Right. So anyway, the question of all. What's the raya?
Apparently it sounds like bad thing to eat from
the
Sefer, right? So it must be that the reason why
right.
It's bad
is because. Yeah. One could have said, is that like a foolproof idea?
The puzzle sounds like more like you're talking about either about Zara, right? The problem.
About either, no. Yeah, so what does the Rush himself say?
The Rush on this.
Rush says, I don't think it's such a good raya.
Right.
He could have said two things, number one, what the Rush says.
So he quotes the Rambam in.
He expands on Tosus himself first, right? With the Simen Hay?
Yeah.
Hey, who says that's kosher?
Yeah, apparently it's not. He didn't check it at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's number one. Or what you said, which is maybe it's even about Zara, or just it could just be for all the people who are learning about Zara, right? It could just be a din in. In? Kind of like a chasnus, you know, and even a chasnus kind of a din d'oraisa, meaning, you know, you don't want to, you shouldn't be associating with, you know, he's making these, you know, the context is one of somebody who's a committed, you know, Ovid Avodah Zarah. So you have to see what the Rambam Shita is, and we'll get back to that. Okay. But you know, the idea that this applies automatically to that the Tosus view applies automatically to Lahakis, also questionable. Keep going. Who's reading Tosus before? Tzvi, right? The Alpha Gav. So that's where you get some of this ambiguity that I'm talking about, and I was trying to relate it to a whole bunch of other cases, you know, of implications that there's some sort of complex mixas geirus, because as the Gemara says explicitly, right, echad geirei rais, echad geirei chalomos, kulam geirim gemurim. So if you're geirim gemurim, then how can there be other Gemaras that say the geirei arayos, you know, that you can't eat from their shkita and certain other things. So Tosus's solution, Tosus rejects the idea that this is some sort of beinayim status. Go ahead. Hainu.
Hainu.
Yeah. What does that mean? I know the words mean, but I mean getting back to what we've been discussing. Exactly. The motivation may have been suspect, but in the end of the day, right, he is embracing. Again, it could even mean that the, you know, motivation in the end, maybe what brought him to it, you know, initially was pragmatic. Maybe it opened his eyes. Or maybe his eyes never were open, but in the end of the day, he's still sincerely committed. That's an interesting question. Avakutiyim. Yeah. So then the question is, well, so what are you going to say if it says that? Then how are you going to explain Gary Amos? Right. So Rav Tosa says. Yeah. But you can see just based on this small little sample of evidence, right, that you know another approach could be that even if you hold Gary Arayos, that doesn't mean that there's no Gerus at all. Right? And that's a complicated. Or, even if you hold Gary Emes, we still are acknowledging as Hashem Ayu Yireim Veselohehem Ayu Ovdim. Right? In which case, you know, maybe even Gary Emes has limitations. Right. So this is a very big issue. I gave the example of Gonim and the Meiri, but there are also these examples in Kutim, which I just want to hold out because I want you to see them. And I'd say it relates to these other cases of other Miktos Gerus, for other reasons, or cases where you have Kedushas Yisrael, you know, that gets compromised by improper behavior. These are all things to look at. Now, it's also very related, possibly, I shouldn't say very related, it's very attractive to say that this is all very related to something else in the sugya, namely, Alex? Eitan? Unless you all think it's not. Tani? Shai? Elimelech? Zecharia? Eli? No one thinks this? Maybe it's wrong. It just be wrong. Benjamin? Yonah? Back there? No? Ellie? Where's Ellie? Ellie here? What? There's a flu. The wedding.
Yeah.
Wow. Really? Wow. These weddings, they can really, really taxing. They're good. Avrami? No one has the slightest idea. Josh? Zev? Zach. Matthew. The what? I don't think that has to do with Kedushas Yisrael or Mixas Kedushas Yisrael per se, although it could reflect it, but something bigger. Exactly. And I kind of set it up by talking about the origin story. Meaning, what about the... You know, what about the end story of the Kutim? That is an equally fascinating issue. Now, again, it could be, and it's implicit in the fact that nobody, you know, was jumping up and, you know, Tanel probably would have done it, but, you know, he has other things on his mind, so like Osei commits at the moment, right? But he wanted to say it. No? Okay. Meaning... You know, the origin story is complicated, but the end story is also just astonishing. Daniel, what do I mean by that? I forgot. Are we Danieling or Daniel?
Daniel. I think it's better for now.
You suffered so much. Michael, what's the end story and what do I mean? Well, they were written out of cloth. I mean, you know, was it, you know, in stages, it sounds like they were written out of cloth. So the question is, does it mean that? But the phenomenon, like, they were Gerim and they were proper Jews, and then I mentioned it before, right? If you have, you know, any Ger who's in Skyer sincerely, let's say zero question about his Kedushas Yisrael, right? And then the next morning, he goes crazy or whatever, he undergoes some sort of transformation, and he, completely rejects it. He's Chozer L'Suro, to use an expression of the rabbis of the Talmud, right? He's a Yisrael Mumar. He can't undo his Geirus. Frankly, if you could undo your Geirus, then there probably couldn't be Geirus. That's an important perspective, by the way. Yeah. I mean, the phenomenon of being able to assume, Kedushas Yisrael is not such a small thing. Right? Both on an Amechami and Alakai Chalakai, level. But it's possible, that if it were reversible, that would make it impossible. Right. Therefore, this Gemara about Kutim, the question is, what does the Gemara mean? We're going to read it in just, maybe we should read it quickly. Yeah. Ooh. Should we? What do you think, Steve? Yeah. Okay. Let's just get it on the record, because then we're going to have to follow through, which is what it means. But this is the end story of the Kutim, is Hayom Beis Bamed Aleph. Just, let's read it quickly for a second, and just raise some questions about it. But I'm just saying the phenomenon is astonishing and unprecedented. I mean, he had this whole group. They were considered to be Geirim. And then they got, written out. They decided, they met up with Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said, don't trust them, so we just threw them out? How did that work? Or is that really what happened? And it may have only been a miut? Right, let's read the Gemara very quickly. I told you all these Gemara, right?
You have some context for
the Achanavi. In Achanavi. That's also astonishing, yes. Right? But that didn't necessarily happen, formally, right? That could happen through...
The Gemara uses it.
Yeah, so we'll discuss it. When we discuss that, we'll discuss it. I'm just saying, this was more of a formal decree, and that is also astonishing, 100%. That's why when you find, that's a whole Ethiopian, question, Sheva Dan, and remember Eldad Adani, right? Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead, Svi, if you don't mind. Wow. Okay, so you could say, Tzvi, what? Yeah, maybe this, how narrow, even that, though, what do you mean? That's a Dindrabanan, that's a Dindaraisa, what do they do? Can they, obviously, a Dindrabanan, anybody can do. Not everybody. But obviously, the mechanism, excuse me, are there for that. See, that's the wedding thing. My identification, with the Goldbergs. Nimo Ashkitas Kutu Gasrua. So, thank you. I appreciate it. I can sneeze because I know that Alex is here. Anyways, so it could, that's still an amazing thing. But we have Fer Daraisa, Derabanan, right? It's still an incredible. If it's Daraisa, it's amazing. Even if it's limited, even if it's Drabanan, that's a very surprising thing. Go ahead. But it could still be narrow. I mean, go ahead. That's definitely what? That talk walks it all back completely, right?
Yeah.
Meaning, it's a chashash namanus. Yeah, go ahead.
Ooh.
A little harsh, right? Yeah. So he says, obviously that isn't what it is. The bigger question is, was this accepted or not? Which is also fascinating. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to, we're going to go back to these Gemaras. Again, I hope to do this quickly afterwards, but, you know, because there's some really interesting issues here. Meaning they dafka weren't Makabel, why weren't they Makabel? Or were they Makabel, or they wanted the Kabbalah to take a generation later? What does this say also about the way, you know, I guess policy issues in Halacha? Maybe it's a good Zera, but you just can't do it now. You got to do it for the next generation. Right? So we'll get to that, but that's not for now. Go ahead. Tehiba. Nikabli. Odilma. Yeah. Right, this goes again to what I was saying a second ago. Like, what are the policy considerations of doing this or not doing this? The timing of it, right? It's just a fascinating chapter. Yeah, go ahead.
Other questions in Afshe.
An interesting raya, right? Hemtham shel tzadikim, go ahead. Okay, that's an interesting, we'll discuss that a little bit when we get to it. We'll go back to that. What are the parameters of that? Okay. Viso kadaitach. If the whole thing was nothing, then there's no big deal to begin with, right? Elalav. Okay. So they were makabel at some point that shchita skuti is no good, right? Even if it's perfectly done perfectly. Okay. Go ahead. So what happened here? Shadir Rameir Lasuye Chamra, he wanted to get some yayin, the Bekutai. Yeah. They had this cryptic conversation with him. You know, he quoted some pasuk in Mishlei. This, go ahead. Sakin bluecha. If you're, you know, if you're worried about your, you know, shmiras hamitzvos, right? Right? Then, you know, don't do this. Yeah. Go ahead. Sipar Dvarim, he told the story, Lefei Rabbi Meir. So now we're already eliminating not only their shechita, but their yayin, which of course is very symbolic. Both are symbolic. Right? Go ahead. Like, what was the problem with them? They were Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Okay, but again, remember that Yisrael, a ger, and his gayer, the Ovad of Avodah Zarah, is just a mumar. Not just a mumar, but he's a mumar. Okay? Go ahead. It's even more mechudash, right? Because most of them weren't there, so there's no evidence that most of them were Ovad of Avodah Zarah. Right? But nonetheless, they wrote them out. Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay, we'll have to get into all these things very quickly. Hopefully we'll do a quick job, but you get the idea. But go ahead, just a little bit longer. Bin. Okay, don't try not to embarrass the Rebbe if he's not in the topic, etc. Go ahead. Proshenet. Mitzvah ben Yosef. Gemurin. So this is our huge escalation. We'll have to, again, we'll talk about each of these things, but just for now, right? So it went from Shechita to Yayin to everything. Or so it appear, right? Legamri. Gemurin. Asam Ovde Kochavim Gemurin. Or does it mean Ovde Kochavim Gemurin Bleinyan these Dvarim? Right? Go ahead. Lemai. Okay, so the first one is, they don't really mean that it's an expansion. It's really that they finally, you know, were able to accomplish, you know, these goals. But again, the Inyan Kedushas Yisrael are just separate from Kedushas Yisrael, just you can't eat their yayin, and you can't drink their yayin, and you can't eat their basar. Go ahead. It still sounds, when you say the Kam Gemurin, that it's more than Yayin and Shechita, right? Go ahead. And the answer is Lebatel Rishos Velitam Rishos. What is that? These are dinim in what? In Erevin, right? In, you know, Shitufa Mavos and Erevi Chatzeros. Right, what happens if a non-Jew owns one of the pieces there? That's different than if a Jew does, in terms of how you neutralize that for Eruv Katzeus. Okay, that's all we need to know about this for the moment. Kedetanya, Yisrael Mumar. Okay, so that's the end of this Gemara. It starts off, or let's say, it's in the middle, you know, reaches a kind of a crescendo, you know, and then it kind of ends with a whimper, right? Because the Gemara is my legamri, is a dindrabanan of Eruvei Chatzeros, right? The Shvisa being Kona Shvisa. So there are two ways to take the Gemara. Right. One way is, this sounds like this was an unbelievable, astonishing, you know, development, namely that the Bezdin identified, you know, a whole population, and somehow they had the motivation, and even more shocking, the capacity to remove their Kedushas Yisrael, or parts of their Kedushas Yisrael. That's certainly what it sounds like. They asom akum gemurim, right? Or no, it really means shechita and yayin nesach. And when they say asom ka'ov de kachavim gemurim, which sounds like the gabra, meaning relating to their status, right? It doesn't really mean that. It means legabe some other dinim like keruv chatzeros, etc. Will you ever say this din, you know, lekula? Or we only say it, you know, in limited areas, or maybe more expansive areas, but l'chumra. Now, it's where you need Kedushas Yisrael, Kuti is excluded. But what about the Kuti's going forward ability to do whatever he wants, right? In other words, can he marry whoever he wants? Has he lost Kedushas Yisrael l'kula? That's what I'm asking. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, seems to suggest that this is even lekula. This is a major, major debate. The scope of this din and the nature of this din, is it to be taken seriously or not? Okay? That's the end story of the kutim. And again, Aseres HaShvatim is a great parallel to it, although you could certainly be makalik. Does, you know, the properly, you know, constituted authority of Klal Yisrael when it exists, let's say, you know, the equivalent of Bezin HaGadol, does it have the ability to do such things definitionally? You know, and then the question is policy-wise, you know, should they do such things? That's also a question. But, of course, the more you think that the Kutim, to begin with, were either tentative had tentative Kedushas Yisrael, or compromised Kedushas Yisrael, or Mikzas Kedushas Yisrael, right, the possibility, you know, that that is something, you know, which made them more vulnerable, conducive, you know, to the removal of Kedushas Yisrael, you know, becomes reasonable. Okay, so once this took place, at least with regard to Shechita, the status of Kuti is no longer relevant? Okay, I mean, we'll get back to the question of the origin story and the final episode, you know, in terms of Kuti. These questions, exactly, I mean, well, just to document them more, but these are the questions, right? How much Kedushas Yisrael did they have? How much Kedushas Yisrael was taken away, or was it taken away? Fine. Now let's get back. But in the middle, you know, in our sugya, we're talking about Kutim that were part of Klal Yisrael, whose gerus was at least miktas, if not fully recognized, right? And what we know about them is that they're not trustworthy, and partly we're trying to figure out, you know, what that spiritual profile was, but definitely the Pnei Velishtin Bechal, maybe brought her up, maybe Torah Shebal Peh, you know, maybe Arvus, maybe, you know, nation identification, Amechami, whatever it is. I mentioned that there are other Gemaras that imply that they were Mekel on Safek. Again, the Rashash here discusses that. Oh, only Sfeika Darabanan, or Sfeika Daraisa, or what they held like the Rambam, that Sfeika Daraisa is only a Din Darabanan. No, in general, what was their posture towards Darabanans? And you have the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph, maybe Eitan, if you don't mind just quickly, since he did so much. Just to read very quickly the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph, which adds two other elements. Number one, it strengthens the whole, you know, Torah Shebal Peh thing. And again, it adds a further wrinkle on the Yotzei V'Nichnas Mashgiach Tmidi issue. Yeah, do you mind, Eitan? Yeah, go ahead. Here, on the, what is it, starting from Gimel Amud Beis? On the bottom. Tan Rabbanan is the other, the miss in the middle Gemara, in between the beginning and the end. Three lines above from the top of the, I think where we really were, yeah. Okay, so this is actually important. Why is this important? So again, this is a revisiting of Abai and Rava, but placing it a little more in context of Omid al Gava, what's suggestive about this? So that's a question. Abai says that there, Rava says there's a sharp contrast, right, between Omid al Gava and Notim et Echnas. And Abai says what? Rava says that Yotzei V'Nichnas is the equivalent. I'm sorry, the other way, right, 100%. I got it mixed up. Abai says it's like Yotzei Matzo, and Rava says that it's the equivalent of Omid Al-Gava. Okay, which is the bigger Kiddush, would you say? Nice. I like the methodology. So again, I guess the equation between Yotzei V'Nichnas and Omid al-Gaba is the most intriguing, anyway. Right, it's probably not fair to ask the way I asked it. Right. When we make that equation, what are we really saying? Are we saying that Acherim Ro'noso or Omid al-Gaba, you know, isn't quite as much supervision as you might think, and therefore, you know, it's not really much better than Yotzei V'Nichnas? Because we're diluting Acherim Ro'noso? Or are we really saying that Yotzei V'Nichnas, in some respects, is like, Hilchei Ramot. So, are we upgrading Yosef and Nichnasim? There's a debate between Abai and Rava. It revolves around how you look at Yosef and Nichnas, or it revolves around the level of Hashkacha that is required in Shkita, which in turn also reflects on what we really think about the standard of Acher and Rona. So we're going to get back to this in just a second, but that's very suggestive in the language of the Gemara, that it's one of those two things, not clear which way, right? So let's just go just to finish up. Then the Gemara goes on. Go ahead. So now we're getting back again in this spiritual profile of the Kutim, meaning that they're observant, but in a very selective way, right? And that they particularly have certain methodological differences, right? Including accepting the Mesorah, or accepting Torah Shebaal Peh, accepting the Mesorah, right? Maybe they hold, you know, that Shechita Sof is not Menat Torah, since it's not Mefurash Bakra. Correct? Go ahead. B'li Taneich. Meaning, once you're saying they don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, why is it, it should be any Shechita, right? Ella. What about if they're machzik, but it's not mefurish b'torah shebichtav? Go ahead. That's also a strange phenomenon, right? They're very machmir in certain things, right? Go ahead. Let's stop here for a second. Okay, so these are all the Gemaras about the Kutim. So again, there seems to be a major debate about the spiritual profile of the Kutim. You know, what were they machmir on and what not? And as I say, there's this Lacha Mishnah question kind of hovering, you know, around, and that is, you know, if they really were kofar b'torah shebaal peh, then, you know, the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva should think that they're abikarsim and that they're akum, you know, and so on. Okay. So if you hold that the, you know, this whole discussion about the status of the Kutim and the question of Yotze V'Nichnas and, you know, Ochel and so on, if L'Halacha, it shouldn't get registered at all because we wrote off the Kutim, at least with regard to Shechita, if not regard to everything. Right? Eitan or not? What? We should write them off. No Halacha L'Maisa at all. Don't need to, just an abstract, you know, historical blip. Matthew? Or? Exactly. That's the Rambam where? In what? Well, he does speak about the Tzedukim, but early in Hilchos, where does he? Yeah. Avadim Vavav, you have it? Go ahead.
To do
That's a critical Rambam. Yeah. So number one, he says the Kakum Kol Dibreim, right? Which is, again, doesn't sound like it's limited only to Shkita, Reinesach, and some Dinim of Eruv HaChatzeros. We'll talk more about it. And I mentioned the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos does mention even Lekula that we treat Kutim as Ka'akum, which Achronim note. Moreover, basically he says that Kutim, you know, were replaced in terms of spiritual status with Tzedukim. Now again, what you don't have in the Tzedukim, of course, is the question of their original Geirus. So it sounds like the Rambam thinks that that's not a factor so much, meaning Geri Arayas, Geri Emes, you know, being something. I mean, I guess that was, according to the Rambam, definitively, you know, determined that they were Geri Emes without there being any kind of, you know, complex status, right? But in terms of their rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, that part is the Tzedukim. It's interesting that in Hilchos Shechita, so what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Shechita about the Tzedukim? He doesn't speak about the Kutim for that reason, right? This is the missing link, Rambam, the one in Tefillin. I mean, sorry, in Avodim, you know, why he doesn't. But what does he say about Tzedukim? Oh, meaning, Acher Rowan also is kosher. Go ahead. Oh, okay. And that's where the Lecha Mishnah, or what halacha is that, Tezayin? Yeah, and if you look at halacha Tezvav, in the Lecha Mishnah, just very quickly, just to get the question on the record, go ahead. I think it's in Tezvav. Lecha Mishnah? Yes, it's from Hilchos Tshuva? It sounds like here, if they were kofar b'tor shebasav, then they would be kemin l'chol advarim, and they would be, omed al gabav wouldn't help, right? But if it's only Torah Shebaal Peh, like the Tzedukim Vaitusim and the old Kutim, right, that's just a practical problem. Okay, but if, go ahead, what does Hilchos Tshuva imply? Yeah, meaning? So it should be right, exactly. So this is a very important idea. The answer, you know, is not clear, but there might be two things to say about the Rambam tentatively for now. We'll just do what we can for the moment. One is based, perhaps, on the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre. Did you get a chance to look at that? Did I give it? Did I? Paragimel Gimel? I did. Alex is nodding. Okay. What's Gimel Gimel? This is Mamrim Gimel Gimel. What? What does Brahm say you have in there? Per Gimel Locha Gimel. Go ahead, Alex.
The Medvar Memurim.
Wait, talk about Kofer. Look at Halakha Beis. Read Beis again. Meaning it's somebody who's kofar b'torah shebaal peh is moridin v'loma, meaning it's an apikoros. Okay, right. That, on that basis, one would think, like Hilchos Tshuva, right, that should apply to Tzedukim. That should make them like Mumer Lahachis or you know, Kuti, you know, after the Gzeira, or even maybe even worse. Right. Go ahead. Medvar Mamurim.
Medvar Mamurim, Vish Shekavar B'Torah Shalpeh, B'Mach Shavaso, Udvarim Shnirlo. V'halach achar daito, hakala, v'achar shri v'slibo, v'kofer mitoris, v'alpeh, chila, ketzadik v'aisos, v'chein kol ha-toa ma'acharot. Aval b'nei ha-toa ma'ayla, b'nei b'neihem, she'idich osam avosam menoldu bein ha-kroim, v'gidlu osam al-datam, harayhu k'tinuk sh'nishba b'neihem, v'gadluhu, v'einu zariz lech, v'drachai ha-mitzvos, sh'arayhu k'anus, v'afal pisha sham achar kach, Shu Yehudi v'ra Yehudim v'davidata harehu k'anus harei gadlu al tovsam kach elu shamarnu ha'ochsam v'darkei avosam ha'karoim shetau l'vichal v'roi la'afzir m'tshuva l'mashka m'dvar shalom ad she'afzir l'eisan ha'torah.
So the Rambam Hilchos Ma'amarim, although he says that kofar b'tor shebal peh is an apikoros, right, does say that the principle of tinuk shenishva applies to not the people who initiated that policy, meaning who were educated in an environment where it was unacceptable, you know, where it was clearly perceived as an act of merit, right, and who nonetheless embraced it, you know, but the next generations, you know, even if they're intellectually aware, you know, that, you know, this isn't the policy, you know, but again, they were raised in an environment which militates against, you know, kind of embracing, you know, that or understanding the significance of that, right? It echoes very loudly for us, that constitutes tinuk shenishva. So it could be, one possibility, that, you know, the going forward tzedukim are not minim and apikarsim legabei shechita for that reason. I think it's one possibility. It also could be that this is connected somewhat to the Rambam's view, before I mention, and what about Hilchos Shechita? What about Hilchos Tshuva? Where the Rambam doesn't make that distinction. So again, either Divrei HaRambam aniyim b'makom echad and ashirim b'makom acher, maybe, or maybe more likely, Hilchos Tshuva is also about required beliefs. There the Rambam is trying to explain not the consequence of being an apikoros necessarily, right, but the status of being an apikoros, right, and, you know, to use the terminology that became famous, you know, a couple of hundred years ago, or 150 years ago, you know, the idea that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is still an apikoros, meaning, what the Rambam is trying to formulate in Hilchos Tshuva may be the beliefs that are necessary, and maybe even necessary as a ticket, you know, to schar, you know, in Schar Olam Haba. That's different than recognizing, you know, that there isn't necessarily merit in not adopting those positions when culturally and educationally, you know, and socially, you know, the environment, you know, is not conducive, you know, to that kind of, you know, strong, you know, commitment wherein, you know, the rejection constitutes an act of rebellion. Right? Very hard to speak of people as rebels. Again, you can be a rebel from a doctrinal point of view, but it's hard to begavra look at somebody as a rebel, right, when he is merely in sync, you know, with the, you know, the culture around him, or when, again, that's a sad truth, but that's a realistic truth. So that may be one perspective. The other perspective may very well be that this is connected, may also be connected to the view of the Rambam about Avodah Zarah in Shechita. Meaning the Rambam, unlike the Baalei Tosfos, as we noted before, doesn't think, you know, that the Hagdara of Goy is somebody who's mufka for the mitzvah, you know, of Shechita. If he did, it would be an interesting question, you know, whether, again, somebody who's kegoy l'chol ha'davarim, you know, is that only l'chumra, or is that also l'kula, meaning does he become mufka for the mitzvah of zivko? That's one question. But the other part is that, you know, maybe the Rambam's view about Shechita, and this is something we'll have to talk about more, let's talk about the Rambam in Tirshim Shnayis, and especially the Rambam in, you know, Kilkos Shear Avos HaTumah, you know, Perek Beis Halacha Yud, which we've talked about a little bit, Does the Rambam think, you know, that it's non-Jew, or does he primarily think that it's really Ovid of Avodah Zarah? You know, the Karelo Lechom Yizibcha. In which case, maybe this is a din in Shechita also, you know, that being you have to be an Ovid of Avodah Zarah. It's not enough, you know, to be Hareu Kegoy Lechol HaNevarim in order to apply Salah. So that's also possible. Okay. We don't have so much time. I'm running a little late. So let me just talk about some of the other issues that come up in the sugya quickly and make the following... sorry, why that keeps happening. Good. Number one. So just another couple of issues that I think are very related to all of this, and especially I want to get back to a very quick discussion of Yotzei B'Nichnas. Do you need Bedika Sakin for a Kuti? Eitan, do you need Bedika Sakin for a Kuti? We know that you need, we know that there's a factor of feeding him, you know, after the fact. But what about Bedika Sakin? We mentioned it the other day already, right? Tosa says you don't need it, because the Gemara has it by Mumar, doesn't have it by Kuti. So, and who disagrees? 2 days in the Ramban, and the Ritva just actually quotes the second day. Right, the Ritva holds that you do need it. And it also ends up being an interesting machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. Right? Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you need Bedika Sakin for Tzduki, which is the modern-day equivalent of Kuti, if you accept the Rambam's understanding. Right? The Shach, Al-Atar, right, that's the Shulchan Aruch base test. Right? One second. I guess I'm going to go a few more minutes just because I want to get in some of these points so we don't have to go back to them. We still have a little bit to do with Kuti, the before and the after part. I still want to pursue a little more. The Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch says, Tzduki baitusi, heimlem shacham achar tzadiku baitus, mital midi antigonos yisocho, she yotzo le tarbus ra, veinam aminim betar shabal pet, shchitasa nasura, elim kein shachtu vakeirim omdum al gabeyem, the gambodkula hemasake. Right? So the Shach says, Sorokiyun minaleha afilo harajba, the machmir, kasav vidin tzduki by tusi kidin kuti, kodim gzera, the chen kasav ramam the chosavadim. Right, it really comes from the Ramam, this equation. And kasva tosis dav gimel, the rush, ain't tzorek, meaning kuti doesn't need bidika sakin. So domli strom mumar, shodea shein yisrael somekalav, the Yare Shema Yivdo Kasakin Achra, right? The Kuti knows that he is, you know, kind of a discernible population and people are suspect, you know, and are going to possibly check on him. Mashen Ken Yisrael Mumar, you know, he just, you know, he's like, and he doesn't stick out of the population. They're not worried. Yukach Nizim Elishka Pesagin Pakum. Av Yisrael Mumar Lo Mirtas, Shema Yivdo Kachra, the Pisha Maksikim Asa Bi Yisrael. That's what Tosa said. The Tzarchiyun, and so on. Betshuvas Rabbeinu Betzalel, also interesting. The Hainu Dafka Bizman Hakodem Shayu Lahen Kama Midos Tovos. Of Be'elo Akaroim She Bizman Azeh Shekilkalu Maaseyem V'gam Ein Ochem Mishkitas Yisrael Shkitas Anasura Afili Yisrael Omen Al Gavav V'roh Sheshachad Yav. That's an interesting, in other words, I was saying before, you know, based on the Rambam, that, you know, Bizmanenu, even, you know, Tzedukim, I have a Tinuk Shenishba status with regard to certain things. And the Shach is saying that the Karoim, the Tzedukim of our time, are even worse. You know, Kilkalu Maaseyem, we don't trust them at all, even if Akeirim Roin also. That's just an interesting perspective. Anyway, basically, the argument between Shulchan Aruch and the Shach echoes the debate between the Bali Tosas on the one hand and the Ritva, and the two Deis and the Ramban on the other side. So is it a difference between Tzeduki and Kuti, and there's not full acceptance of that equation, or it's an argument per se? What is the argument per se, though? So Tosa says you don't need it because it's included under what? See? Under Mirtas. And the Ramban and the Ritva, right, disagree. So what is that debate really about? So is it possible that debate is really about, or is really connected to the bigger question of how much or the nature of hashkacha that you require, you know, in this case. I'll get to that in a second. Another question, closely related. Why wouldn't it be permissible to give a kuti to shecht lechatchila, you know, with the proviso that we are going to, you know, check up on him afterwards, or we're going to check afterwards by giving him achilas basar lapa. By the way, it's interesting to note also that the Rambam omits, when he talks about tzeduki, this factor completely. Right? So that the Rishonim also address. Rami saw? Balatosis, Ramban. Saw it or not? Why can't you just let the kuti shak? And then after the fact, you know, you'll give him a piece of basar and you'll see if he eats it or not. Right? How many people have class at 1 o'clock? A lot of people? Oh, okay, so we'll stop at, 5 to 1. Is that okay? Yeah. But we can go for another few minutes, at least just to get these points in. So this is a debate among the Rishonim. The Ramban says, in Achanami, you really could do it. But that's what the Gemara means when it says b'diavad. The b'diavad means, b'diavad here doesn't mean, you know, whether, you know, you can do it or you shouldn't do it. B'diavad here means that whether it's a standalone, self-sufficient solution, or you need other props, other things to prop up. In other words, it's b'dieved, that's what the Gemara means. If there's no acherim roim also, so, you know, you feed him afterwards. That you could do that l'chatchila, but the point is that you're going to need something post-shkita in order to justify. If you don't want to do something, you know, without a post-shkita, you know, correction or affirmation. So that's what Ramban says. Ramban says you can do it. The Bali Tosa say, Shema Yishka Chlafsos, and we're afraid, you know, this is what he intends to do, but he'll forget. Some of the other Rishonim say other people will, you know, potentially be, you know, thinking that since you allow the kuti, you know, without any kind of supervision to be shoke, they will know that afterwards, you know, you insisted that he sample, you know, to see whether it's spiritual poison or not. So they don't see that part. They just see, oh, kuti can be shoke, you know, b'li acherim, you know, umdemalgab. But this is an interesting question, and it's a question that is connected to the next question, and that is Abaya, who rejects Yotze v'nichnas, rejects it only l'chatkila or even b'diavad. Okay, what's the story about that, Yitzi? Sounds like b'diavad in the Gemara, and it's Rashi certainly sounds that way, and the first day in Tosa sounds that way too, on Gimel of Aleph. But there is a second day, yeah? Ritz argues, and the second day of Tosis argues, and says that, no, even Abaya holds that b'dieved, this would be effective. Correct? So that's interesting. That puts the whole debate in slightly different fashion. But then the question is, so, you know, it doesn't sound that way in the Gemara, right? And what's the point that, you know, if b'dieved you rely on it, so what? Why do you have to give him, you know, the meat to eat? So Tosa says the reason you give him the meat to eat, Yitzi, is because even though b'diavad you can rely on Yotze v'nichnas, I mean, Abaya says in the case of Yotze v'nichnas you have to give him the meat to eat. Why? I mean, b'diavad it works. You have to give him the meat to eat even if there's nobody there, and you have to give him the meat to eat when it's Yotze v'nichnas. So how does that make Yotze v'nichnas effective b'dieved? Right? It says Tosas, Daniel, you're on Gimel Min Aleph. Anyway. Right? Nami kozman sheyachol l'takein ha'idei chotech kezayis basar yeshol l'takein aval ilesa l'kuti l'kaman shari. Ah! That's exciting. Efshelvara, Tzorichlevara, but another one, right? You have, they're not necessarily all the same. There is rove in different rows, different chazakas, different sveksvekas, right? Safek Tumah Brishus Arabim, Safek Drabanan, and now Yotze v'nichnas. Tosa says, oh, Yotze v'nichnas works b'dieved, but Efshelvara, Tzorichlevara, which means that Rabba thinks that Yotze V'Nichnas works the Chathila and doesn't require Efshel of Aretz Zarah Chava. So what I think might be going on here is, you know, the following question. And that is, how do we really look at the level of Hashkacha that is required for Shechita and for other things? The debate between Abaye and Rabba about Yotze V'Nichnas, especially in light of this Tosis maybe, you know, could be about several different things. It could be just about the quantitative level, you know, that you need of Hashkacha. So, you know, what level of Raya do you need? More or less, etc. Right? Obviously, Acher Rono so seems to be more, you know, than Yotze V'Nichnas. But it could be that this is also a qualitative question. And then in two sentences. Number one, do you really need Eidech Adem Bisurim, which is kind of what Acherim Roino so is? Or is it enough to have Mirtas and to have an Umdana, kind of a Rov? A Ruby Delesa, come on. What level of Hashgacha do you require here? And indeed, the Beis HaLevi, you know, not in Siman Hey, but in Siman Dalet, you know, talks about this debate between Abaye and Rabba as if it is related to what he ends up in Siman Hey and so on, developing, namely, does Shechita require Cheskes Kashrus, which he equates with Eidech Adem HaBisurim, the whole discussion that we had in Rome between Eitz HaShechita and Lutkanein, or will it be sufficient that there be a rove, that there be an umdana, that Mirtas would suffice? And he thinks that there are many nafkamina, again, in this question. I think that one could go a step further with this and suggest the following. When the Gemara equates, as it does, Omid al-Gabab and Yotze V'Nichnas, according to Rabbah, as I said before, you could probably take that in one of two ways. One way is to say that even Acherim Roenoso or Omid al-Gabab is nothing more than Mirtas. So the Ritzvah, for example, dismisses, the Ritzvah says, apparently Acherim Roenoso, they're close enough that they can get a real sense of what's going on, says the Ritzvah in the Sugya, because otherwise Yotze V'Nichnas might be better than Acherim Roenoso. Okay? On the other hand, the Rashash Alatar, that's to look at, has a very interesting Ha'aris of the whole Sugya, one of which is that in his opinion, Omid al-Gabav is also based on Mirtas. They're not so close that they can really see exactly, but they might come closer, or you don't know what they're seeing. Basically, the Rashash thinks that the equation between Yotze V'Nichnas and Acherim Roenoso establishes Acherim Roenoso not as Nemonus of Eidus, not really Re'ia, but Mirtas. That's a fascinating thing. Now, of course, it touches on the Tosis on Daf Yud Beis, Omid Beis, whether or not you should be Mechalek between Acherim Roenoso and Omid Al-Gabav. And if you look at the Mordechai there on that daf, the Mordechai says, well, you might, if you hold like the Bali Tosis, think that a Katan and a Cherish and a Shota, if it's really Godel Omed Al Gabav, and not just a Cherim Roenoso, that'll work with Chathila for a Katan too. And then the Mordechai says, no, I think the whole thing is wrong, because we don't find that Chiluk. Really, there's no difference between Omed Al Gabav and a Cherim Roenoso with regard to this halakha. Again, if you hold like Bali Tosis, it's easy to say what the Rashash says, that is a Cherim Roenoso is not such a high standard, and it's a kind of a Mirtas, and it's maybe a quantitative difference, but a hop, skip, and a jump from there to the Din of Yotze V'Nichnas. Whereas maybe the Mordechai is trying to say that isn't really the case, and, you know, this is really one high standard. Indeed, I think the other way to look at it, especially if you think Acherim Roenoso is a high standard, is that the Chiddush of Rabba is not that even Omid al-Gabav is not more than Yotze V'Nichnas, but that Yotze V'Nichnas is a kind of Acherim Roenoso. And what I mean by that is the following. Again, a couple years ago when we were studying Kiddushin, you know, we talked about the role, and also we learned Shuas, actually, the idea of Hein Hein Eidei Yikud, Hein Hein Eidei Bia. And, you know, also get Yashan. I mean, what happens Well, we assume something like, well, to make the story short, Kiddushin requires Eide Kiyum. So how do you get away with Heinei Eide Yichud, Heinei Eide Biyah? If you're not really seeing physically the Maisa Kinyan, how is that Eide Kiyum? So unless you want to take a perspective, which Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal particularly liked, which is that maybe there's a difference between the Eide Kiyum that you require for Kiddushin Biyah and the Eide Kiyum that you require for other forms of Ishus, in other words, that, you know, Isha Mikdash Begimel Drachim, that the Drachim work in different ways, I don't want to get into that right now, then you might say that the Eide Kiyum work in different ways, and there's some evidence for that. The alternative is probably to say either that all Eide Kiyum are just about establishing what likely took place, that is, they're super Eide Birur, or, like what the Nesivos likes to call Anan Sa'adi, or others call Anan Sa'adi, or, this is what I prefer, and that is that there are certain umdanas, or Eidos umdanas, which redefine what constitutes Re'iya. Again, just to highlight it, you know, the Maram Rutenberg in the Tshuva, you know, and the Avnei Miluim elaborates this much more. You know, it seems to distinguish between predictable or, you know, anticipated umdanas and reconstructed ones. Like the famous Tshuva of the Rajba says, if anybody has to go, they should go for class. I'm just going to take another couple of minutes because I want to finish up this big point. But if you need to go and catch up later, that's totally fine. And Hatzlacha on the, you know, the Kazara and the Bechina and all that thing. But there's a famous tshuva of the Rajba, where the Rajba describes a case, or was asked about a case, where, you know, a man and a woman entered a room. You know, he was, you know, brandishing, you know, an esrog. You know, that can sometimes happen, especially at certain times of the year. And then, like, you know, he hears, you know, the would-be chatzon, popping the question, you know, wanting to be mekadesh the isha with the esrog, and then they walk out of the room, and she's holding the esrog, and, you know, the band is playing, you know, they're singing for the chasen lemakala, and the Rajba says, that's not Eide Kiyum. That doesn't work. So the question is, why is that any different than Hein Eide Yuchad Hein Eide Yuchad? The likelihood, you know, that what took place here in reconstructing, you know, the event was that there was a full Maisa and Kiddushin, you know, he was Makadesh, she was Nasan Hu, probably Omar Hu, Nasan Hu, Omar Hu, she responded and so on, is very, very high. At least as high as the odds of Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Biyah. So what's the problem? But the answer may be there are a number of problems. One is more natural. Again, without the Maram Rutenberg gives like three different chilukim. He's not talking about particularly the Yisro case, but, you know, about why this umdana, you know, manishtana umdana zumi shar umdanos. But the bigger idea is that there's a difference between something which prospectively you anticipate on the basis of an umdana, or at least it may break down to this, or maybe this is just a prop, as opposed to reconstructing. And that has, again, a lot of discussions that we've been having, nothing to do with the probability of figuring out what took place. It could be that the reconstruction is, you know, 85% and the anticipation is 70%. But what I think that there are different ways to explain this, but the best way, since we have a little time, is to say the following, and that is, when you anticipate something, so then there is a kind of hyphenated action, where you can fill in the blanks, or the tchilas hamasa is just that. It's not the preparation or the background alone. You know, it becomes tchilas hamasa that you witnessed. In other words, when you predict, you know, based on, you know, natural inclinations or whatever, when there's a predictive element, then what you see isn't just background, it's tchilas ha'maisa. And then what you see has already been subject to Eide Kiyum. So when you say, Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Biyah, right, the knisa lacheder, if you will, or something like that, constitutes chilas hamaisa. It doesn't have to be that. It maybe also need, you know, further, you know, practical evidence, or maybe not. So what I'm trying to say is, in some cases where, even where you need ri'iya or something like it, it's an interesting question to ask how you define that. So when the Gemara says that Yotze v'nichnas is the equivalent to acherim roim oso, right, you could either take the approach of the Rashash, which is that that dilutes acherim roim oso, but if you don't want to do that, then maybe what Rava is really saying is that Yotze v'nichnas, because of the Mirta, the Mirta says that what you've seen is representative of everything that's going on. Not that you've seen a little, but you haven't seen most. But the Umdana is that this is probably what likely took place and you can rely on. What it does is, instead, is it accentuates, you know, it focuses, you know, status and stature on the... you know what? Give me one second. Pure mirtas, Yotze v'nichnas is a required level of ri'iya on the shechita, which constitutes a somewhat of a either a nechad nemu bisurim or its equivalent. If that's the case, then that also may affect the question of sake. In other words, Bali Tosa suggests that Yotze v'nichnas, or let's say in general, that the idea in kuti is that it's sufficient to have an umdana. It's sufficient to have mirtas. So if the mirtas includes that there be a sakin baduk, then so be it. Right? There's always a possibility, because we're dealing with someone whose status, you know, is distinctive relative to the rest of Klal Yisrael. We know it's a kuti. We know kuti imar chashudim al davar zeh, that, you know, there's always a possibility of checking the sakin, and therefore bedikas hasakin is taken care of, you know, by the mirtas. But if you require for the components of shechita that there be ri'iya of some sort, right, then there needs to be bedikas hasakin. So it's possible that this question is determined by this issue. This also affects another issue, and that is as follows. The distinction between maga and lo maga, which the Gemara proposes on Gimel Amud Beis, within Abai. Yeah.
Once we take this other approach, the Yotze v'nichnas, to that, like, open up room that we're going to start making Tzilukim, like, what if what if he tells the guy, I'm going to come in, but he never does?
I think so.
If he comes in at the beginning or he comes in at the end?
I think he has to, I mean, the idea that, for example, that Yotze, yes, and this is an issue that is discussed in the postkin, where Yotze v'Nichnas works, does Yotze v'Nichnas have to at some point be Yotze? Or is the mirtas of the fact that he could be Yotze v'Nichnas enough? So if you think that this is just umdana and it's robe and so on, then, you know, whatever works, assuming it's still effective. But if we think that Yotze v'Nichnas itself has to achieve a status, albeit in an the umdana allows you to inflate, you know, the re'iyah part, but this still needs to be connected to some sort of a re'iyah, just like I'm suggesting the model is say heyded yichud heyded debia, then in Akhanami there would have to be an actual, you know, re'iyah, maybe even a, you know, some sort of shear, you know, in that and what that would be. 100%. I think that's one of the important nafkamim. So this question also may affect the question of maga, lo maga. That's an interesting question in its own right. Rashi, in explaining maga and lo maga, says that it refers to a pragmatic question. Namely, Yitzhak, you see Rashi? Rashi, I believe on Amud Beis, yeah. On Yom Amud Beis. Noga below Noga, or whatever it is. Yeah, but then he adds that when it comes to Shechita, the damage is done keheref ayin, right?
Yeah.
Right. So it sounds like what Rashi is trying to explain is that the distinction between Naga and below Naga is a very pragmatic one. Namely, it doesn't take, you know, any time, you know, to be Makalkel, and therefore somebody isn't there Tmidi, you know, so then the Hashkacha is worthless. In other words, the Mirtas fear, I guess, or the Mirtas isn't enough. You know, given how easy it is, I guess there's a scale of you know how easy it is to cheat, you know, and how likely it is to be caught. So the ease of cheating, I guess, in this case is so you know, so much of a factor that, which is an interesting and a very understandable from an umdana point of view distinction. However, it's interesting that others understand the distinction differently. So the Rashash, again, and Rabbi Kivager has a line like this as well, suggests that maybe the difference between Maga and Lomaga is a different distinction. That's just Rabbanan and Daraisa. After all, the Chanus case with the non-Jew, you know, it's an issue of Stam Yenam, it's not an issue really of Yai Nesach, likely, and therefore maybe there's a difference between the Hashgacha standards of an Issa Daraisa and those of an Issa Drabban. However, Rabbi Kivager on Shulchan Aruch has a suggestion, you know, that maybe it's even more than that. That maybe the idea is that Shechita, because it has Behema B'chaya B'cheskas Yisro Medes, you know, that's what we mean by, you know, Naga below Naga. I think even before you get to that Ha'ara of Rabbi Kivager, you could have something in between, and that is, again, in one case, the issue is a suffix, whether or not you, I'm not sure if this is the same thing. You didn't do anything. The question is whether you did something. In the case of Shechita, you did something, and the question is whether you did it, you know, properly. But I like Rabbi Kivager even more, and that is that the Cheskas Yisro, Behemah B'chaya B'cheskas Yisro Medes, is a fact. Now, that question, again, is a legal question, obviously not a pragmatic question. Very different than Rashi's Karabai. So maybe what we're really saying is that when it comes to the level of Hashgacha that is required in Safek, Deen Safek Iser, that there's a fundamental difference, you know, between, you know, Cheskas Kashrus and Cheskas. And what is that difference? More Hashgacha and less Hashgacha? Or maybe the difference between, you know, a Ruben de Laisa Kamon, a Mirtas, even an effective Mirtas, you know, as opposed to Behema B'cheskas Yisro, you have to prove Heter. For that you need Edechanem and Bisurim. For that you need some sort of Re'iyah. So that even the distinctions between Maga and Lo Maga themselves may highlight this distinction. That's within Abaya. That's Abaya isn't just saying there are two levels of Mirtas, a stronger Mirtas and a lesser Mirtas, which is what it sounds like in Rashi in terms of Ke'arifayin. Or maybe even in the difference between Darbanan and Daraisa, but that could be qualitative as well. But once you bring in, again, formalistic factors, you know, like Cheskas, again, Cheskas Isra Omedes doesn't change the likelihood, you know, this is kosher meat as opposed to that is kosher Yayin, Ki Huzeh. Right? It doesn't. But what it does is it may establish that the standards of Hashgacha that are required, in other words, to change the status of something as opposed to be concerned that somebody was, you know, actively bekalkele, safek bekalkele and safek betake. But I'm saying even more than that, you know, safek, you know, matir, you know, as opposed to, you know, anything less than safek matir. So these may be issues as well. This question then ends up going to the, going back to the Beis Halevi, being very relevant to the question of whether umdanas are sufficient here, both in terms of omid al gabav, or in the absence of omid al gabav, like rov mitzvah shvita mukhanein, or you really require some sort of a re'iya, not just as a stronger mirtas or a stronger umdana, but as some sort of eidecha nemun bi'isurim, namely some sort of a cheskas kashra, some sort of a more positive, and that touches not only on the rov mitzvah shvita issue that we talked about, but also goes back to something that we discussed already, and that is the question of katan, right? Part of what we're discussing in katan is, does katan, does a shochet need nemanus? There we had, I mentioned it then. Does an isha need nemanus, right? The erechanem bisurim, that's one of the issues that we discussed. Does a katan need nemanus, right? The levush, the shach, you know, the other poskim on that question, balitosis, et cetera. This question also comes up, again, you have the Ra'ah and the Rajba, you know, that the Shach quotes with regard to Katan as well, but also the issue of Evet, which I want to talk about for 1 second, and I guess we'll have to stop with that. Yeah, you have a question first?
Rebbe, you mentioned that the Chelek Maga and Laga is all going to buy it, so if we understand Chelek Maga and Laga as actually having the requisite that the Evet and the Amanda, is it possible it could also affect the Esher Levar and Sarah Levar question? In other words, Wotosis is saying that even if you think Esher Levar...
Yeah, so let me get back to that. I mean, Wotosis, exactly. I thought I made that point before, but let me say it. It's not clear. And that is that, in the end of the day, what's interesting, once Tosis brings up the point of Esher Levar and Sarah Levar, this is exactly what I thought I said, but if I did, I just assumed everybody understood it, so I'm glad you brought it up. That Tosa says that if this is a din of Efshel Levar or Tzorach Levar, really, 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 even according to Abaya, you know, this is an acceptable status. But Efshel Levar or Tzorach Levar. So why not say the same thing when you have Omid Al Gabav, let's say, or Archer Rod or something, right? That isn't infallible either. So once you're saying that Chotech, you know, Basar, you know, Machilo, you know, is an Efshel of Arer, or an additional Birur. So why not require that in all circumstances, L'chatchila? Right, just like Ramban and Rov Rishonim are requiring, you know, Yachal, you know, Levarer in case of Rov Mitzvinei Zashkita Mubkenei. Moreover, you know, why not say the same principle for Rava, right? There are two questions. If you're saying this to Tosis, then what's the difference between Acher and Rod? Unless you think that's just a Vadai, you know. But there's evidence, especially for Bali Tosis themselves, who think there's a difference between Acher and Rod and also God alone and El Gaba, it probably is, you know, something less than Vadai, right? But never mind that. I think what you're saying, Rava, right? Rava holds that Yotze V'Nichnas doesn't require Chotech Basar Umachila. What, so it's an argument, it parallels the Balamor. The Rav and Abaya are talking about, you know, the Balamor and the Ramban. The answer is maybe. That's one way to look at it. It doesn't sound that way, since the Gemara says that the debate is whether or not Yotze V'Nichnas is the equivalent of Matzah V'Shuk, or Yotze V'Nichnas is the equivalent of Acher Roh Nosa. Right? So that doesn't sound like Abai and Rava are arguing whether you apply the din of Efshel of Arer, Tzorech of Arer, you know, to Chotech, Basar, Makilo. Right? But what I think we could say is, again, the more pragmatic thing to say is, well, everybody will agree that Acher Roh Nosa is a better viewer than Yotze V'Nichnas. And therefore, when it comes to this question of Efshel of Arer, Tzorech of Arer, Acher Roh Nosa, and what about Rava? So Rava thinks Yotze V'Nichnas is pretty good. Okay. But I think a better way to say it is that for Abaya, Yotze V'Nichnas is certainly not a hyphenated fill-in-the-blanks re'iyah. It's a mirtas. It's an umdana. And since it's an umdana, therefore Efshel of Arer, Tzorech of Arer. We're all going to rely on it, as a matter of final recourse. You don't have any other option. But if you have Acher Roh Noso, that's not Midin Mirtas. That's Midin Prabaya, who's Machalik between them. That's Midin Re'iyah. That's Midin Eidach Anemim B'Yisurin. And Rava will say, yeah, I agree with that Chiluk, but what I think is that Yotze V'Nichnas is Ka'omid Al-Gaba, or Kacher Roh Noso, meaning I don't think that it's only Mirtas. I think the mirtas allows you to expand, the nichnas part into a re'iyah. So once you have a re'iyah and it's chesed kashrus, this like the Beis HaLevi, then there's no din of efshel of arer, tzorech of arer. So gufa, the question whether there is or isn't efshel of arer in this case depends on how you look at yotze v'nichnas itself. So even if Abaya thinks that Yotze V'Nichnas just doesn't work at all, then certainly. But even if Yotze V'Nichnas works, if it works midin mirtas, right, and Rava thinks it works midin re'iyah, then that explains the qualitative discrepancy between, with regard to the question of Tzorech Libdo, Efshel of Arer, Tzorech of Arer. Okay? So I just want to speak on Ebed for one more second, and then we'll stop. And that is that, again, obviously Ebed is connected to the problem of Isha. So there is this tour. This is very fascinating, just to be aware of. The tour, anybody aware? Or do I don't think I gave you a look at this. Or you saw it? Yeah. What's the tour? Yeah. The tour says the tour says that an Eved's Shkita is Kshera, and he says that we're talking about an Eved Meshofra. Okay? So there's a double problem with that, and the Beis Yosef asks on the tour. It sounds like, number one, that you need to tell me that an Eved Meshuchar Shechita is Kshera. An Eved Meshuchar is Yisrael Gamor. He's like a ger. So what's the problem? Moreover, it sounds like what you're also saying is that an Eved Sheina Meshuchar, but who has the Chi of Mitzvos Keisha, right, is not kosher l'shchita, right? Or at least requires additional safeguards, in terms of omid al gabav or things of that sort, at minimum. And both of those, says the Beis Yosef, are problematic, because Eved Meshuchrar should be Yisrael Gamor, there's no chiddush in it, and Eved Sheina Meshuchrar is Mitzvah Ke'isha, and if you hold that Isha, well, the Shitasa of the Beis Yosef, right, is involved in Shkita, then what's the problem with Eved? So the Taz, actually, Al-Atar, see, cut and base, goes on to say something sensational and a bit related to some of the other things we were talking about earlier about Kuti and Givonim and other things. And that is that even though an Eved Meshuchrar is a Yisrael Gamor, and he doesn't suggest that there are limitations in terms of Isha, nonetheless, we find in other contexts, too, that you need to be marbe him. He's not Yisrael Gamor completely, meaning the fact that he came to, this is my speculation, could be wrong, the fact that he came to his full Kedushas Yisrael through Abdus, let's say, and not through pure Gerus, kind of remains, he remains like a separate category within Klal Yisrael. That's the idea of the Taz. He doesn't suggest that has anything to do with Nemanus. But that would say be important in terms of being marbe the chiddush, let's say, of shechita would imply that shechita requires a certain level of purest kedushas Yisrael. That's important. The Shach is more pragmatic, and he talks about how not so much that Eved Meshuchrar is still a Kiddush, that he doesn't say, but that Eved She'enu Meshuchrar has Midos Gruos often, or at least might have Midos Gruos, and therefore you have to establish, the Shach has a more pragmatic perspective. He says you have to know that he has a Cheskas Kashrus from other things. And there are Abadim who have that Cheskas Kashrus, and others who maybe default don't. You have to be Makir Moslo Shekosher, something, know, kind of in the middle, which is fascinating, in terms of, again, the positive requirement of Cheskas Kashrus and how that is lost. But certainly, the Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, doesn't like the whole thing, the Beis Yosef and the Shittaso. He says, Stam Eved, not Eved Meshuchrar. He doesn't think of any limitations, any requirements to establish his, you know, bona fides in terms of his Cheskas Kashrus or anything like that. And Torah Achatas, also quoted by the Shach, says, you know, even has a language that, you know, he's shochet, you know, like a kuti geire emes or anybody else is like any Yisrael kosher. No, there's no difference whatsoever. But there's a debate, a little bit of a debate, and that's kind of what the Shach is referring to, and that is a stam eved she'enu meshuchrar. Bechlau, Rovim Tzuyinei Toshkita Mubchenei. A little bit parallel to the Mubrele Teyavon question, you know, and the Katan question, a few other of those issues as well. But certainly, in light of everything that we've been talking about, one could also suggest that, you know, A, if you need, again, personal Cheskas Kashrus, that's kind of what the Shach was saying, maybe that is Mufka from that, in terms of Eidos, certainly, or Nemanos. Or even more than that, getting back to the Lavush on Katan, and that is that if you take the view that an Eved, She'enu Meshuchrar, even though he has Mitzvah Seishas Mangroma, you know, Chiyuvim, and definitely Mitzvah Kedushas Yisrael, but if you want to say that he doesn't have complete Kedushas Yisrael, he still has a Tzad Nakri Shavo, or and his Tzad Avdus is something that detracts fully from his Kedushas Yisrael, even if it isn't Midin Tzad Nakri. So then the idea that, you know, either he would be completely excluded or at least would be excluded from the, you know, Cheskas Kashrus part of it would make a great deal of sense. So it's not only Mumer L'Teyavon and not only Kuti, Tzeduki, but it is also the question of Katan and Eved and Isha on the Nemanah's part in light of this as well. Okay, so these are the issues connected to the status of Kuti, when Kuti was Shochet, and when we pick up the Nirz Hashem after the break, we're going to speak a little bit more, not too much more, because I want to get to Mumar L'Teyavon and Mumar L'Hachis and Mumar L'Chalas HaShabbos and Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, and again, hopefully not taking too long. We'll talk about very quickly a little bit more, just to fill in the question of Kuti, Geiri Arayis, and Geiri Emes, but based on the questions that we've raised, I'd sort of fill in some of the details, and the question of Gozru, you know, that Kuti is a Gai Gamor, you know, and what that